Praise the Lord, saints. In the month of April, I went to the doctor for your examination, and they do all kinds of blood work. And they found some in my blood work about, the doctor indicated that I had hepatitis C, and I was like, I don't even know what that is, hepatitis C. I'm like, oh, okay. I better look it up. So anyway, she said, you need to come back and do some more blood work, and we need to send you to a specialist. So I said, oh, okay. So I went last week for another blood work, and she called me right before about 7 o'clock. She called me, and she said, I don't understand. She goes, the blood work in April says you had it, but the blood work you just did last week says you don't have anything.
Yes, amen. Praise the Lord, church. I want to read James 5, 14 through 15. And it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So at this time, we're going to ask if anybody has any prayer, come up to the front, and the ministers in training will pray over you in the name of Jesus. So in the name of Jesus, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. We lift up these needs before you, God, in the name of Jesus.
Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you.
Because
Cristo. I need my second eyes here. I'm going to give the announcements for this coming weeks. We have the camp meeting June 18th through the 22nd. Senior camp and hyphen June 9th through the 13th. Junior camp June 23rd to the 27th. And the applications are in the foyer for the staff and the campers. Firehouse meeting continues in June. We have three houses left. Pastor Sullivan will be preaching Sunday night, May 20th. Oh my God, and I want everybody to be here. Yeah. I want to be here. And also I was elected to collect the offering. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. If you want blessings from the Lord, give it with your heart. Amen. If you had a $100 bill that somebody paid you, 10% goes to the Lord. That's $10. That's his tithe. That's his money. When we get the double blessings, it's the $90 that are left for that is mine or ours. And we give out of that. That's when we get a blessing, the extra blessings. It's our money. We give him his part, praise God. And then the money that is left for us, we give him out of that. And that's where the blessings come in. Praise God. I'm going to read the creed. But before I read the creed, I want everybody to say it with their hearts, with a sincere heart. The reason I say that, because I've always said it with all my heart. Even though my daughter Lizzie, she knows it by heart. especially the part here where it says perfect health. Where it says perfect health. I praise God with all my heart. As all you know here, everybody knows here, the doctor said I had stage 4 lung cancer. They told me there was no cure. They only gave me 1.5 to 2 years at the most to live. I've been taking chemotherapy for a little over a year and a half. Every 3 months, I take a CAT scan. The last time they gave me a CAT scan, a few weeks ago, the report came back bad. Told me it spread more, and they told me he's sorry. I started to cry. But no, I'm going to believe the Lord's report. I've been saying the decree with all my heart. And last week, they gave me a different kind of, the doctor said, because it spread so much, they gave me a PET scan, a PET scan, the one that's about 1 hour long in the tube or something like that. And the doctor called me yesterday to tell me that he can't believe, he's amazed at the test. He says, hardly anything in there, he said, compared to the first ones. I told the doctor, Doctor, don't forget, because I was telling him about the Lord. Don't forget, my Lord is taking care of me. He loves me. He's taking care of me. He's healed me. I'm in the process of being healed. And I told them, and doctor, don't forget, I already told you, I asked God for new lungs. And he said, I'll never forget that. Say the creed, but say it sincerely from your heart, from deep in there, okay? In the name of Jesus. Upon the authority of your word, I have given, and that should be given to me, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I am a tither, and I give my offerings to you, God. I bring them today to your storehouse. Therefore, the enemy is rebuked, and the curse is broken. I live under an open heaven where you pour out upon me
blessings that there is not enough room to receive them. We receive jobs, better jobs, raises, and bonuses, sales and commissions, benefits and settlements, estates and inheritance, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, bills paid off, debts demolished, royalties received. My whole family is safe and walking with God. Perfect health and abundance to walk in the divine favor and blessings. I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. All that I put my hands to do will prosper in the name of Jesus. Amen.
May be seated. So many times people may think, you know, I don't have to give, but some people may say, I give because I have. And the reason we have is because the Lord has blessed us and we know where our blessings come from. And when we sometimes when you get a little bit of something and you hold on to it and you're selfish with it, you don't want to share it with others and with other people, you can hoard, you aren't going to get blessed. But when you freely give, that's when your blessings pour out. You don't even know where they're coming from. Like, what in the world? Where did this check come from? No one owed me money. But we learn that we are blessed when we freely give. And some people may give, but they don't give from their heart. They give because they feel like they have to. But we don't have to give. We get to give. And the Lord has blessed us, so we should freely give. And when I was thinking about this service tonight a couple weeks ago, my husband hadn't even told me he was going to do this. And I just saw it on the announcement. I was like, oh, ladies' night. And we were fortunate to get bumped up because I don't remember what happened, but something happened last week. And so we got an extra week. Our ladies got to have a little more time to prepare. And when we have these nights, I don't just say, you can speak. But I really, I prayed and I asked God, you know, I don't want someone to just come up here and just say something that doesn't really mean a whole lot of anything. But when I asked the ladies that I did to speak from their heart and whatever God's doing in their life, I feel like they have something that will bless you. And so just receive whatever they have and from their heart, what God's given to them, what they're going through, what God's brought them through, whatever it may be, because I know that God knew it was going to be ladies' night tonight and he knew who was going to speak. And so right now, I want us all to ask the Lord to anoint these ladies, anoint their thought, their heart, and what they have to give, what God has laid on their heart, and that they will have liberty and that they won't be nervous, that the nerves will stay right there where they're sitting, in Jesus' name. So let's do that right now. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done already in this service, God, for the presence that we've felt and the praise, the beautiful praise reports that we've heard, God, the answers that we find when we pray, Lord, when our confidence is in you, Jesus. I pray that you would touch these ladies, God, anoint their hearts, their minds, their spirits, Lord. Anoint us, God. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive and apply it to our lives, Jesus. Bless the remainder of this service in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Get all the praise and all the glory. And Sister Marissa, come and bless us.
Praise Lord, church. Nervous as can be. Okay, this is my first time ever doing this, so forgive me if I stutter or if I'm nervous or I repeat myself or whatnot, or the way I talk, okay? I'm going to start off by telling you a little about myself. My name is Marissa Christine Montiel. I've been married for 4 years. I have no kids yet. It's all in God's timing. I have 5 dogs. I have 2 German Shepherds, Star and Bear, and I have 3 poodles, Leo, Duchess, and Zoe. Let's see. I'm sorry, I'm really nervous. Okay. Me and Jonathan's been married for 4 years. I have 6 sisters and 2 brothers. In total, there's 9 of us, including me. I was born and raised in this lifestyle. My mom raised me to be a prayer warrior and an intercessor. At the age of 6 months old, I was diagnosed with slight cerebral palsy on my left side and seizures. Growing up in this lifestyle, I had my ups and downs. Going to school, me and my sisters were the only ones who wear skirts there. Like, out of the whole entire school, we're the only ones. But they would call us the skirt girls. I hated it so much. We did everything in skirts. We did our PE, we did swimming, running, everything. We wore skirts year long. I would always ask God, God, why? Why am I like this? Why do I have to wear skirts? You know, everybody else is wearing pants. Everybody else, you know, it's hot and they're wearing shorts and they're doing this and that. And it's like, why do I have to be covered up? And why do I have to do this and that? And one day God told me, it's not why, it's you guess do. You know, you have that privilege to stand out. You're not going to be like everybody else. You're not going to be like that, but you're going to stand out. Out of the whole hundreds of people that go to the school, there's 3 girls that know there's different, you know? And I just thank God, you know, for the revelation and stuff, but let's see. We have the privilege. As living in the United States, we have the privilege of freedom of religion, and we don't have to be out there praising no statue. We don't have to be out there telling them, oh, do 10 Hail Marys or doing go do this and go do that. No, we get to talk to God however we want to talk to God. You know, we get to tell God who he is to us. We get to express our love to him, express, oh, God, I'm mad, God. We get to express, you know, how much he means to us, you know. No one ever has to force us to do that. You know, let's see. You know, sometimes when I talk to God, I get kind of stuck. And I tell God, you know, I feel like sometimes I repeat myself. I'm like, God, I love you. I praise you. I worship you. You mean everything to me. And then again, a little bit later, God, I love you, I praise you, I worship you, do everything to me. And then until God, like, that shift in the atmosphere changes, where you're just moaning and you're groaning and you're telling God, I love you, God. I praise you, God. I worship you, God. I love you, God. You can feel that change. And you're just moaning and you're groaning before God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega,
the beginning, the end of everything. He's our Father. He's the everlasting God. And we just moan and groan and our souls crying out to him. And God knows exactly what to do. God knows exactly how to handle the situation. And God knows that what we need at that time, he just wraps us in our arms. And I just thank God because he is my everything. And I just thank God for his everything. Oh, God. I just thank God for being who he is to me. You know, for many years, I fought depression. For many years, I'm always just a homebody. Like, I love to be home. I love to be safe in my own bubble. So I think, you know, and God is an awesome God. You know, he gives you strength. He gives you power. He gives you the what you need. If we can turn to Isaiah 40, 28 through 31 in the King James Version. And the Bible states, "Has thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. But even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." This is my favorite. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You know, God, he's there for us no matter what. No matter we feel like, "God, where are you? God, where are you? Where are you?" God's like, "I'm here. I'm here. You let go of me, but I never let go of you." You know, he's there with us, and he just it never sees. God is so amazing. Like, I don't know how to get it out of me, how amazing he is, you know. Yes, we have our struggles, and yes, we go through things, and yes, it may seem like we're never going to get out of it, we're never going to see the light of day again, but just know that he giveth power to the faint and them that have no might. You know, in the beginning of May, Sister Grogan asked me to speak, and I was like, "Oh, okay," because I never did this before. I was like, "Oh, in front of a few sisters, like, sure, yeah, okay." But then she told me, "No, it's going to be in front of the whole church," and I was like, "Oh, Lord Jesus." I said, "Oh, God." I said, "Okay, God." And so I was a bit nervous. I was telling my husband, like, "Oh, my God," I'm like shaky. I'm just like, "Oh, my God, I don't know if I could do this or not." But, you know, tell you my testimony. About 9 years ago, I had multiple seizures a few hours apart. The doctors couldn't stop them, so they had to air vac me out to Stanford Hospital. There I stood at night and a day. There's when I realized tomorrow isn't promised. Our next breath isn't promised to us. Then I tell myself, "Okay, Marissa, you got to stop. You got to stop making these broken promises to God. You got to stop. Like, God, you do this for me, and I'll do this for you, you know?" And I would feel myself, my spiritual thermostat was broken all the time, because one day I'm good for God, I'm on fire, I'm going. The next day I'm like, get back into my bubble, you know, thinking, "Oh, what if this person sees me? And what if this person is laughing at me? And what if this person, this person, this person?" It's like, who am I? Like, they did that to God. Who am I? I'm going to do it no matter what. Just because they laugh at me, just because they do, that's their problem. You know what? That's fine. Go ahead, laugh at me, do whatever. But I'm making God happy. I'm making my Father happy. I'm making him happy, you know? So I know okay, as a child of God, he always protected me. No matter what, he always protected me, what I going through. I never backslid, thank God. I was raised like this, you know, through God, through my family, through everyone helping me out and stuff. I thank you. And tonight, I have to make a decree. I guess, as I was saying, I have to give the devil an eviction notice, you know, give the spirits eviction notice. And I wrote down, let's see, as of May 20, As of May 16, 2018, you are no longer a tenant of my body. This is a temple of God. Depression, you are no longer living in this temple. That goes for all your cousins too. You all got to go. Every sickness, every anxiety, anger, frustration, jealousy, fear, doubt, sickness, everything, the whole bunch, you got to go. You are no longer a tenant of this body. Everything that is not of God, you got to go. After doing that, we all have to replace what we kicked out. We got to put new tenants in. By saying that, we got to speak into our lives. We got to speak joy, peace, forgiveness, a sound mind, happiness, love, health, laughter, good stuff into our bodies. And I just want to say thank you guys for giving me this opportunity.
Wow, that was awesome. And there's nothing more powerful than a personal testimony, because nobody can tell it like you can. And I'm thankful for these ladies. Another reason I didn't say earlier, but it just brought to remembrance when she came up here, when I asked each one of these ladies without hesitation, they said, okay, wow, oh, okay, you know, and I appreciate a willing heart, and I know God does. When God asks us to do something, sometimes we want to always question, oh, well, that's just me, or that's just my own thinking. But sometimes we, if it's good, and if it's edifying, if it's godly, we know it's God, and we don't have to question it. So I appreciate these ladies, because when I asked them, they were without hesitation, because sometimes I get really bummed out and really like down in my spirit when I'm really excited about something and I talk to someone about it and they're kind of like a downer or they're kind of like negative, and I'm like, oh, it really brings me down. So it's really important in this life, like she said, you know, we have to change bad habits into good ones. And the only way we can do that is if we replace bad habits with good habits. She wasn't talking about habits, but things in our lives, because we have to surround ourselves with positivity and people that love us and people that encourage us and help us to want to be a better person. And I'm thankful for these ladies. And I remember when Sister Marissa was making a transition to Abundant Life Center, and her husband was starting to be a part of MIT. And I remember Marissa talking to me and saying, Sister Grogan, whatever you need, anything, time, in the day or in the night, she's all, just call on me. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. And I'm so grateful for that, and I appreciate that. And this next lady, I appreciate her very much. I can call her any time of day or night, literally I have, and ask her to do something for me. And even though she works a secular job, within short amount of time, it's done. And I appreciate that. And she has a servant's heart, and she wants to do whatever pastor wants her to do. If he asks her to do something, it's done. And I appreciate that. And I know that these are the kinds of things, characteristics in people that God admires and that God can use willingly. And I appreciate Sister Marjorie, so come give us your heart, sis.
Praise the Lord, church. So funny thing is that as soon as we heard that there was going to be a women's night, like in my spirit, I was like, oh my God, Sister Grogan's going to ask me to speak. And when we were at Firehouse Prayer, she was like, oh, I want to know if you would speak. And I was like, sure. And then I was like, wait, did I just say yes? And, you know, so like I was like, oh, okay, I can do this, you know. And I had my scriptures picked out, you know, last week. And I was like, then I started doubting myself. And I was thinking, what if this is not the right scripture? Like, what if this is like my mind and not the Lord? And I thought, nope. I'm just going to block it out. But then today came, and I was, like, super nervous. And in my mind, I was thinking, how can I get out of this? Maybe I'm going to call in sick, or maybe I'll just fall asleep. Like, literally, the devil plays tricks. Like, I was trying to think of every way possible. But then I thought, no, like, why am I going to let him steal my joy? Why am I going to let him steal my voice? So, you know, so the scriptures that I had thought of last week, it was crazy because I was reading it, and I was like, oh, I like this, you know? But I thought, I wonder if this is it. And I don't know if any of you, but for me, at nighttime, I read my Bible, and I have a bunch of different plans that I read. And one of them, like 2 days ago, had this exact, like, scriptures in there, and I thought, oh, well, that's not confirmation, Lord. I don't know what is. So if you'll turn with me to Psalms 34 and 14 through 22. And it reads, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. And as I read this, I kept thinking, like, the word desolate just kept coming up to me. So I was thinking, man, I remember a time, you know, back when my soul and my spirit was very desolate. You know, I left the church for a while, and I was out there doing probably everything that you could think of. I was out there acting a fool, a mess. And I can remember times being out, being in places I shouldn't be, or putting myself in situations that I should not have been in. And I can remember in my spirit just like going to a place, anywhere was that. I could be in a club or a party or somewhere, and just going into a little place and being like, Lord, I know I should not be here, and I know that I'm not living right, but if you would just help me get out of this, like, I will give you, you know, all the glory and all the praise. And he did many, many times. I mean, if you knew some of the situations I've been in, the things that I've seen, it is a miracle that I am standing here today. It is a miracle that I am alive and that I'm not out there doing so many other, you know, crazy things out there. And I thank the Lord all the time for that. I thank the Lord that no matter what I was doing, he was looking at me and he still wanted to use me. He still wanted me for his child. So as I was reading the Bible and just going through different scriptures, finding, I came upon Psalms 86, 5 through 7, and it says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. I'm like, wow. Like he literally hears me, you know. And I don't know if you guys were here a couple weeks ago, you know, Brother Winslow was here and he was, you know, preaching. And a lot of times when he comes, people are like, oh my God, hope he doesn't call me. He gonna put all my business out there in front of the church. We like turn our heads, you know. But from the last time he came, I kept thinking to myself, like, why would you not want to be called out? Of all the people in the church, God is choosing you to speak to. He's picking you up out of everybody. And I thought, you know what? Okay. And of course, I'm like one of the first ones he calls out, put all my business out there. I was like, oh. But at the same time, it was like confirmation to me, because those were prayers that was between me and God that nobody else knew. Those were like the times of night, you know, my bed crying. When you think you're all alone and nobody knows what you're going through. But, you know, he sends a man of God to let you know he hears your prayers. He hears the little things that you ask for. And I was just blown away. I kept going home and I kept thinking, wow, wow. And I even told a couple of the people in the church, like, wow. Like, God loves me so much that he answered those prayers. Like, he made them known. No, I didn't want everybody to know my darkest secrets, but at least you know that I know he hears me. He hears what I am asking for. And in John 5, 14 through 15, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire for him. That is amazing to me, because that tells me no matter what it is I ask of him, he hears it. You know, and a lot of times, you know, we think of ourselves, you know, if you didn't grow up in the church, or if you grew up in the church and you left, you know, you start thinking things like, you know, how can God use me? Like, you know, I was here, or I did this, or, you know, we all have this baggage that we have that we think that we've done so much that God can use us, but it's us that carries that baggage. It's not him. When we ask for forgiveness, he lets that go. And in one of my plans, I was reading it, and this is from the, this is a 1 Corinthians 1:30-31, but I'm going to read you the message part because I was just like, wow. And it says, take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? He chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by without blowing your own horn before God. Everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start, comes from God by the way of Jesus Christ. That's why we have the saying, if you're going to blow a horn, blow a trumpet for God. And I was like, whoo, he can use this crazy girl right here. He can use anybody. And I just think of different people in the Bible. You know, David was a murderer, an adulterer, and God called him a man after his own heart. So if he can use somebody like that, he can use anybody, any one of us. And, you know, like I said, a lot of times we hold on to that baggage and we, you know, we ask God for forgiveness, but we don't forgive ourselves. So we hold on to that and we come to church and we pray over and over for the same, you know, thing that we've asked a million times. The Lord's probably like, lady, I don't even know what you're talking about because I forgot you the first time. Why do you keep asking me? And we, you know, we have to let it go. But the Bible says in Psalms 103:12, as far as the east from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That is just awesome, because if you're like me, you have a lot to ask forgiveness for. That's for sure. So, you know, but with all that being said, you know, life does not come, you know, when you live for God, it doesn't mean that everything's going to go away, that you're not going to have no hard times, no bad times. It doesn't mean that what you reaped out in the world, you're not going to sow now, because you have to answer. Sometimes God will step in and he'll wipe it away and you don't have to. But sometimes, you know, you still have to put up with the things that you did, you know, in the past life. So, excuse me. Yeah, so in Matthew 5:45, it says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. I hear so many people in the world, you know, oh, if there was a God, why does bad things happen to good people? Why does good things happen to bad people? That's just life. You know, we have free will, but, you know, despite what it is, God never said it was going to be easy, but he said that he would be with us. He's not going to leave us. He's going to be right there with us, fighting for us. You know, I always think back to, you know, having Xavier and, you know, having a child out of wedlock, it's definitely not God's plan. And it's one of the things that I have to sow because I reaped it when I was in the world. But I love him, the greatest gift ever. And, you know, for the longest time with him, I would always think, how can I be unmarried and raise a godly man? I always thought, it's very hard. And if you have not been there, then you can't understand the struggles. But I always pray to God, and I always tell God, you know, to use him. Like, I want my son saved more than anything. And, you know, I have received twice now, he's been prophesied over, that God is going to use him mightily in the church. You know, and I tell the devil, you're a liar, because with God, nothing is impossible. And I know that even though he doesn't have a present fatherly figure, he has a God that he can go to for anything. And I hold on to those promises, and I hold on to that, you know, he is going to be used mightily. And I see it. He has a servant's heart, you know, and I always instill in him, anything you do for God, you can never go wrong. Anything you do for the house of God, you can't go wrong. You know, so I have him here cleaning, and sometimes he gets mad at me, and, you know, but he's very good. Whatever he asks, you know, whatever I ask of him, he does. And, you know, now he, you know, wants to, he loves being a part of the youth group. He loves getting up here singing. He wants to be in the music department. So, you know, I thank God that he hears my prayers and that, you know, he is there every step of the way with me. And as I was writing these notes and I came across the scripture in Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And Deuteronomy 24, it says, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. And that's just like more confirmation that no matter what is going to be thrown at me, you know, in life, that he is right there with me, that, you know, and if I have him right there next to me, literally, if I think about it, what can come against me that God cannot take care of? I mean, he, that's like the best backup you have right there. You know, you don't need nobody else. But in closing, you know, it's crazy because I heard Sister Marissa speak and I thought she was speaking about my life. I was called the 50s girl at school because I was the only girl in school who wore skirts. They were like, oh, there's that weird girl with the long skirts again. So I understand. But, you know, one of my favorite scriptures, and it's confirmation again because it was her scripture too that I have on my notes in closing, Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Thank you.
Wow, we've heard some awesome stuff. It's, you know, it's awesome to hear from other people because we don't ever know what people go through, and you know, a lot of the same things we may go through. We don't know someone that sits across the building that's quiet, rarely talks, maybe going through the same thing that you're going through. And it's so encouraging to hear that we're not alone. We're not alone in this life. I appreciate Sister Helga, and I'm excited about what God's doing in her life. And many years ago, when my husband was doing the youth, I remember youth retreats and getting to know Helga, and when she met her husband, now she's Sister Benia. But it's awesome the way that, and I'm not going to steal her thunder, but she said she went to school with Sister Marjorie, and she was one of the ones that says that wondered why she was always wearing skirts. Small world, right? But it's awesome because we never know whose life we're touching, you know. And when the Flores came to our church, who knew Sister Stella Flores went to high school with Bishop Abbott? I mean, just crazy. Small world. And you never know whose life you're in contact with and the impact that you're having, whether good or whether bad. But I'm excited for the Benias, and I'm excited that they are back at Abundant Life Center. They had a season in their life where they went away, but God brought them back. And it's awesome because when they left, they were awesome, but now they're even more awesome. And God's brought them, understand me, God's brought them, raised them up, and they're awesomized, as Pastor would say. God's done a lot of things in their life, and he's raised them up, and they're at a higher level in ministry, and it's exciting because God is using them, and Brother Ray is an incredible, awesome preacher, and even since he's been at Abundant Life Center, I've seen the growth in him, and I'm excited for that. And when I have Sister Helga do stuff, even if it's just taking offering at ladies' conference, I'm like, I need to have Sister Helga speak more often. She's got some stuff to say, and she's got some stuff in there that needs to come out. So I'm excited to hear from Sister Helga tonight, and she's going to bless you. And amen.
I told her, I said, oh, yeah, I have to get up. Praise the Lord. It's extra special for me to be up here because this is where it all started for me. The first time I ever walked into a Pentecostal church, I sat right there in Levi 501s, some boots, a necklace, all kinds of good stuff. And I just loved what I felt. And I was alone because I didn't have family or anything here, but today I have a husband. I have two boys. I have my sister sitting right over there. I have my brother-in-law. I have my niece at another church who's active ministry. I have my niece here who's active, and her and her husband are awesome. My nephew who's in Bible college, the little one we're still praying for because she's a little ornery. But God's going to do great things in her life, and he's already done great things in her life. I'm not going to keep you guys too much. I'm going to try to condense what God gave me for you guys, but I don't want to corrupt what he gave me just to condense it. So I'm going to give you what he told me to give you. Amen? Is that okay? All right, so why don't we all forget that it's Wednesday, because we have the Sunday and Wednesday mentality, and let's just worship God. Let's live for God. Let's do what we should do and give God the honor that he's due. Amen. So what I want to talk to you about today is actually the secret identity of the virtuous woman. So I'm going to go to Proverbs 31. I was going to have Pastor read it. If you can, I don't know if you can get a mic. Don't worry, men, this is for you too, I promise. It's not just for the girls.
Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out not by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children ariseth up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Okay. I'm tired just listening to that. That's a lot of work. Amen. All right, so I want to tell you what a secret identity is, and basically what that is an alter ego. So Curtis Landry's not here, but he's like a Superman fanatic. So Superman had Clark Kent, Wonder Woman had, I think her name was Diana something or other, Prince. Batman was Bruce Wayne, and the reason that they had to do that was to protect themselves and to protect the people they were closest to. Amen? Okay, but I want to talk to you about some people in the Bible, different women, and their lives. So first we're going to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Her life was not easy. She lived a life of turmoil because basically she was carrying a baby that nobody knew was Jesus, right? And so everybody thought that she was just an adulterous woman and that she was just living a life that was not godly. She had to give birth, you know, and I'm sure Nicole can relate to this. Nobody wants to give birth in a barn. And that wasn't easy for her. She didn't live the life that we hear about the virtuous woman living. It's not a glamorous life. It's just turmoil and struggle and hardships. So I want to talk to you, too, about Esther, who was orphaned at a young age, who was taken from her people. She didn't want to be the king's wife. Yeah, it sounds great, it sounds grand, but she didn't want to do that. She was forced to do that, whether she wanted to or not. It was basically, do this or you're going to die. And so she had to do that. And then she had to sacrifice her life for her own people who were going to die. Amen? Her life was not glamorous. You know, we talk about Eve. Do I even need to go there? She did not have a glamorous life. And especially after she made the choices that she made, it was even less glamorous. And thanks to her, we all still have to hear, well, you guys shouldn't have had the apple. It's the woman's fault. Amongst other things. And so their life was not a life that the virtuous woman had. You know, Mary Magdalene, Rispa, if you don't know who Rispa is, study her. Her story is amazing. But it's a story of hardship and struggle and pain. It's not a glamorous story like the virtuous woman. So just for time's sake, I'm going to cut short to the last person that I want to talk to you about. And that's Bathsheba. If you know who she is, she was not... She's not the best character in the Bible. Let's just say that. She had an affair with King David. And from that point, David, you know, he impregnated her and then basically had to kill her husband to cover up their sin. She had to live with that for the rest of her life. It was not a glamorous life. It wasn't, you know, just because she ended up being the king's wife, it wasn't something that, you know, she just... When she walked by, everybody was so like, oh, wow, you're so awesome. People knew. It wasn't a good situation. It was a sad situation, really. So she wasn't somebody that you want to be like, and she definitely wasn't somebody who you would characterize as a virtuous woman. Amen? Okay, so I want to read to you Proverbs 31 and 1. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And it goes on to start giving advice that his mother had given to him. And then in verse 10 is where we start talking about the virtuous woman. And that's actually a description of King Lemuel's mother. So if you study Israeli history, King Lemuel is actually King Solomon. Who's King Solomon's mother? It's Bathsheba. You know, we live with this. So many Christians, as a woman... who's a Christian, that is your goal, is to be like the virtuous woman. And we hold it so high. And we put on this mask because we're afraid to show people who we are. We're afraid to show people that we're hurt. People don't want to talk to you, or people don't want to be your friend, or whatever. You're not the perfect Christian if you don't act like nothing's wrong. Amen? Okay, all of us have struggles. The Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And so... what we need to know and understand is that Bathsheba was a virtuous woman. King Solomon didn't see her the way that everybody else was seeing her. He didn't see her with the eyes that everybody else had. He saw her with the eyes of God. And I want to tell you today, if you've had a struggle, if you've made a mistake, if you've lived a life that's less than perfect, one, don't continue in sin, because the Bible says don't continue in sin that grace should abound. God forbid. Don't do that. Don't keep sinning if you know you're sinning. But if you've made mistakes, if you've done things that are less than perfect, which if you are honest, we can all raise our hand and say that we have, God doesn't see you as Bathsheba. He sees you as a virtuous woman, the virtuous man, a person who maybe isn't perfect, but to him, you are perfect. You're that superhero. That's who you are in the eyes of the Lord. And sometimes we struggle, and sometimes, especially as Christians, women, men, we put that mask on because, God forbid, anybody ever find out that we're not perfect or that we've made mistakes. And you know what, Abundant Life Center, it's time to just take it off. I'm serious. We need to show the world, you know what? If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here. I don't deserve to be here. I'm not worthy to be here. Had it not been for God, I couldn't stand here. I couldn't sit there. I couldn't do anything without him because I'm a mess on my own. I made bad choices. Marjorie, take the mask off. Don't worry about what you did in the past. God doesn't worry about it. He sees you as the virtuous woman. That's what he sees. He sees you blessed. He sees your children calling you blessed. In Jesus' name, that's the way that God sees her. That's the way that God sees all of us. We do not need to walk in shame. Jesus did not come to the world to condemn you. He came to the world for what? To save you. And the longer we continue to live that life, to have that mask, we will never save Tulare. Hear me. We will not save Tulare pretending we're perfect. So you need to just, I'm not saying go out and act crazy. Hello? I'm not saying go out and sin. I'm saying tell people. Tell people. The Bible says, how are we saved? But by the word of our testimony. Your testimony is your gospel. It's your death, your burial, your resurrection. Hello? That's how people are going to be saved. You need to share that. You need to put it out there. You don't need to give all the gory details. But you need to say, I wasn't perfect. Brother Jonathan, thank you. Because you don't hide the things you've been through. You don't hide the struggles that you've had. You stand up and you say, you know what? But God. But God. Right? Brother Manuel, he knows, he tells whoever will listen about his life and his testimony. But God, and I'm telling you, that was a toughie. But God is able. God is able. God can save Manuel. God can save anybody. My husband will tell you, go talk to him. He has a testimony. Has he always been perfect? No, but I'm going to tell you something. That man loves God. And he will fight tooth and nail to go to heaven and to take his kids with him, to take his wife with him, and to take everybody he can with him. Amen? Amen? So stop hiding behind that mask. God already knows who you are. He sees everything, and it's okay. Just don't keep doing it. Amen? Amen. I love you guys. I'll let you go home, go to sleep. You think it's hard to be between lunch and people? It's tough to be between their sleep. All right. Love you guys. And I love the Grogans. I love the Abbotts, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
I thought about this song. I've never sang it, and I don't even know all the words that go to it, but I'm going to do this other song right. All of us are going to do it before we leave, but I was thinking about this one song. It says, I don't remember, the Crothers and Company, I believe, did it. Share the gospel everywhere you go. Tell the story that never has grown old. Tell how he lived. Tell how he died. Tell how he rose and how he abides. Share the gospel everywhere you go. And I was just thinking about that song, and it's music that moves me. And so I have songs like for every situation in life, and I think it was either Brother Winslow or Brother Jeffers were saying something that stirred me back up, because I've let my song go silent. And sometimes the things that get us through, we don't use those things. And I was convicted in my heart because I don't sing like I used to. Like, I'm not talking about at church. I'm talking about at home, just in life. I used to sing to everything, and it always brought me up, and it gave me encouragement. But don't lose your song. Don't lose the things that encourage you and the things that uplift you and that don't want to keep you in your closet and your comfort zone. But let God use you. And like Sister Helga said, take off the mask and just be real. That's what the world is looking for, something that's real. And we serve a God that's real. Come on. So just be real. You don't have to put on a facade of someone that you're not, like she said, but just be real. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but God forgives us daily. But just be real. And I was thinking about this song, and I sent it to Brother Helga, or Brother Helga. Her evil twin, no. And just sing with me. It says, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Take all of me so the world can see you live within my heart. Take my hands, take my feet. I will follow where you lead. I am yours. There we go. Amen. Let's just sing it as a prayer tonight. Use me, Lord. Use
use me, Lord. Take all of me so the world can see you live within my heart. Take my hands, take my feet. I will follow where you lead. I am yours and yours alone. Use me, Lord. Let's go up a key. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Take all of me so the world can see you live within my heart. Take my hands, take my feet. I will follow where you lead. I am yours and yours alone. Use me, Lord. Let's all stand and sing this song one more time. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Take all of me so the world can see you live within my heart. Take my hands, take my feet. I will follow where you lead. I am yours and yours alone. Use me, Lord. One more time. Hallelujah, Jesus. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Take all of me so the world can see you live within my heart. Take my hands, take my feet. I will follow where you lead. I am yours and yours alone. Use me, Lord. You feel that way tonight? I just want to be used of God. I want to make a difference. I want to be like Brother Ray and take other people with me to heaven. I don't want to go to heaven alone with just my family. My family is very important to make it to heaven. I want to do all that I can to be an encouragement and be an example to my children. But I want to affect the people in this congregation and people whose life I impact outside the doors of this church, who I rub shoulders with at the grocery store, college, our work, whatever we do, we got to let our light shine because this world is dark. It's dark. But are you going to be dark with this world or are you going to be a light? Be a light and let your light bright, let it shine bright. And that's the love of God. The love of God shining through you will make you bright. So just love people and serve the world. We can live the motto of our church and we're going to make a difference. We're going to make an impact. I can't do it by myself. You can't do it by yourself. But us all together, we can make a difference. We can change Tulare. And let's do that. So let the words of these messages of these ladies' hearts and all that they've been through and the things that God's speaking through their lives, let it speak to your heart and go and be encouraged. And God bless you and have a great night. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.